It's 8 p.m., 2000 if you're in the Army, and the support battalion's Alpha Company is sitting in what looks like a small lecture hall, taking in a briefing from Lieutenant Greg Gaffney of Philadelphia on the evening's mission.
There's an IED on 22 June at 2140 gun.
They're getting ready to drive a 16-vehicle convoy from Taji to Joint Security Stations, JSS for short, called Mushada and Rawah, and are reviewing recent attacks along the route.
All right, arrest made on 28 June, just continuing north along Tampa.
Gaffney and other officers go over the mission plan and run through hypothetical responses to attacks or disruptions they may encounter. The unit does this before every single convoy, since a long chain of fuel trucks makes for an especially vulnerable target. After the briefing wraps up, there are a few hours of downtime to eat and relax. Outside company headquarters, specialists Devin Kirst and David Lentz start up a card game with some other soldiers and start listing the gripes of deployment. Lentz, who's from Anvil, Lebanon County, says chief among them is the spotty, unreliable internet access on base.
It's to the point now where it's pointless to even try. I mean, I try to have a conversation with my wife, and I might be able to stay on for like a minute, if that.
That's a common complaint from soldiers who feel they're being ripped off. The private provider, called US Comms, charges $60 a month for access. Beer is just as important as getting online for many 20-somethings, but you won't find it at Taji or any other base in Iraq. Kirst of Butler County jumps into the conversation at this point.
It does suck, but I can see the point behind it.
It sucks, but it's companies like this one that are probably the reason that I don't have alcohol.
No, it's companies like this that make you want to try.
No, it's companies like this that make it, you know. Because you get people that like to drink and like to do stupid things. I'm one of them.
Missing beer and internet is one thing, but Sergeant Jose Pena, who's sitting a few paces away from the card players, has missed out on a much more crucial part of life, the birth of his daughter, Ariana, who came on St. Patrick's Day.
And all I got is pictures, and I'll see her on Skype. It's weird. It's a good weird, though. It kind of sucks in a way because you can't get that time back. And the best thing that you can do when you get back home is to try to make it for lost time, and that's all you can do.
Pena's from Anvil, too, and was part of the initial Afghanistan invasion. He wasn't married during that deployment and says having a wife and two children at home makes a world of difference.
I see a lot of the kids that live out here, and, you know, you can't help but think of your own back home, and it's like, you know, you just appreciate what you have. And the things that you see out here, it will change you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what walk of life you come from. This will change it.
The card players say the easiest way of getting through deployment is to greet everything and everyone with sarcasm.
It's a coping mechanism.
It's funny because you can't do anything about it. So
you can't. It's inevitable. You can't do anything about it. You're here. So you have to make the best of it. And if that means shooting a joke pretty much at everything somebody says, it's what you do to pass the time.
Lord God, we humbly come to you tonight, Lord, as people who are trying to serve a greater cause, and we ask tonight that you would surround our soldiers.
The company gathers for a final roll call and a quick prayer, then gets into the trucks and MRAPs, large clunky vehicles resembling supersized Humvees. I ride in the trail vehicle with Sergeant Ryan Heim of Lebanon. He's just finished telling me they haven't been attacked all year when his luck appears to change.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know. I think it was some sparks flying off the roof.
Was that from the left side?
Yeah.
A sparking projectile has skipped across the road just in front of the MRAP.
Roger, we had some fire from the left side and hit the southbound lane in front of these tanker trucks. Gunner heard it. We have no PID. We have no visual on anything on the left. We continued moving. Great.
It turns out to be nothing. A road flare fired by American troops traveling in the opposite direction. The convoy keeps driving to Rawad, where Haim explains the Zen-like approach he takes to missions in order to cope with the ever-present threat of coming under fire.
There's no sense in worrying about it because if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You just got to be, you know, ready when it does happen. If you worry about it happening, you go nuts. You'll never get anywhere. You'll never even move.
It takes about an hour to get the trucks unloaded. Haim and other officers pass the time slapping mosquitoes and fantasizing about leaving. The convoy heads back around 1, but one MRAP breaks down just outside Taji, so the return trip takes an hour and a half. Another incident-free mission, another sigh of relief. I'm Scott Detrow in Camp Taji, Iraq.